Thank you, June. We got some water, but thank you. Thank you very much. Shall we just pray for the word? Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from you, Lord. And so, Lord, will you feed us this morning? Will you speak to us in the way that you do best, Lord? And I pray for clarity, Lord, even as I speak, O God. And I pray that our hearts and our minds will be receptive to hear what you've got for us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to continue, if those of you who were here 2 weeks ago, we're going to continue looking at Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago when I looked into Colossae, Paul's letter to Colossae, Church of Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1. And we looked at chapter 1 from verses 1 to 8. And where the message for us, the church, was what? Scratch your memory, come on. Sorry? Stand your ground. Great, great. Stand your ground. Now, Paul, as I said when I introduced this, Paul was writing this letter from a place called Ephesus, where he was under house arrest, chained to a Roman soldier. And he was writing to a small group of believers, a follower of Jesus Christ, in a place called Colossae. And I briefly mentioned how that place was. And these guys, these small church, these small group of followers of Jesus Christ were under constant danger and threat and persecution. And I mentioned that there are three kinds of attack they were facing. Attacks from the pagan neighbors, or who would blame them for any natural calamity that strikes the city, because they would not worship, and also because these Christians, these followers of Jesus Christ, would not worship these gods and goddesses of their city. And they would claim Jesus Christ as the only true God. Okay? So they were facing this attack from these pagan neighbors. And then there were Jewish synagogue leaders, religious leaders, who were persecuting these believers because of their faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, whom they rejected as Messiah and crucified him. Okay? And then there's this third group of people who were persecuted. There were false teachers who were coming in. They were trying to infiltrate this small group of believers with false teaching and all kinds of philosophy. And actually, in this letter, and the scholars say that it's not really clear what kind of philosophy they were teaching or what Paul was actually addressing to. And some feel that it could be Gnosticism, but don't worry what Gnosticism. We'll come to that when I share with you from the next portion of first chapter in Colossae. So this way, the constant danger and persecution that this small group of believers were facing. There was this constant attack from their neighbors who were pagan, who didn't believe in God, who didn't believe in Jesus Christ as the only true God. And then there were these Jewish leaders, synagogue leaders, who were constantly attacking them for they did not believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah. And then there was this false teacher who were coming into the church to confuse these small group of believers. So Paul was encouraged when he was writing. When you read the first few verses of chapter 1, you see that Paul was really encouraged by this small group, because they were doing what? They were standing their ground in spite of all the opposition and persecution that they were facing. So from the life of this small church that we looked in Colossae, and from Paul's exhortation of this church, I believe we too received encouragement, amen, to stand our ground. Come what may, to stand our ground. I just want to quickly recap. Why should we stand our ground? What was Paul saying? Or rather, what did I shared on that Sunday 2 weeks ago? Why should we stand our ground? Okay, anybody remember? Anybody? First, okay, I'll help you. Because we are called and set apart by God as holy. Are you with me? We are set apart. I don't know what it means to you when you hear that you've been set apart. You are holy, you're a royal priesthood. And I don't want to go into explaining that. You're set apart by God. We must stand our ground because God has called us and set apart as holy people, as his ambassadors, as his people. And secondly, God has given us his grace and his peace to sustain us. Are you with me? He's granted us his peace, his promise, as we read in Psalms 23, that his goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. That's the promise that you and I have received. And so we have every reason to stand our ground. Are you with me? Now, how to stand our ground? Come on. Now, this, I need your help. What were the five things I mentioned quickly? How do we stand? Yes, one of them is always thank God. What did I say? Do you remember a one-liner? No. Regarding giving thanks. Don't run ahead of me. Giving thanks. What was it? Grateful hearts are graceful hearts. Do you remember that? Grateful hearts are graceful hearts. What is the second one? How do we stand our ground? Always pray. Keep talking to God. Don't stop your communication with God. Amen. Thirdly, always hold on to your faith in Christ Jesus. Hold on to your faith in Christ Jesus. What was the fourth one? Always love one another in Christ Jesus. And finally, stand, yes, somebody said, stand on the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Okay, now this is all great, yeah? Paul is saying this is all great. This is, you're doing excellent. You're standing your ground. But this morning, I want to tell you that it is just first steps as the follower of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And we cannot stop at this stage, okay? You'll understand when I speak further what Paul is telling us. So I want to look at this morning, if you have your Bibles, to Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 14. Paul is saying, it's great that you're standing your ground. I'm really encouraged. And church, I'm really encouraged that you are standing your ground. But there's much more to come. There's more to come. Because of the opposition that they are facing. Paul knew the intensity. Paul knew the pressure that this church were going through. Paul said, there's something more I've got to tell you. So let me read to you Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 14. And if you can follow me in your Bible, whatever the version you may be reading, Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 14. It says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. You know, Paul in the beginning of his letter says, I always thank God when we pray for you. And he gives the reason why he is grateful to God for the church in Colossae. He says every time he prays for them, Paul was encouraged to know that they were standing their ground. He always gave thanks to God whenever he prayed. But now tone has changed in this verse. He says, but on verse 9, Paul's prayer for the Colossae church has moved from just occasional prayer to a daily prayer. Did you notice that? Paul begins by saying, for this reason, and he gives us the reason. The reason is that you are standing your ground in spite of all the opposition and the persecution and all the false philosophies that's infiltrating your church. You're standing your ground. Paul says, because of that, we are now always, not only just occasionally, but we're going to pray always. Not just occasionally remembering in your prayers, but we feel that we need to pray for you always. And when we carry on reading the rest of the text, we'll see why Paul and his companions decided to pray daily for the believers in Colossae. And if you remember, I told you this church was not even planted by Paul. It was planted by whom? Anybody remembers from last time? What was the guy's name? A man called Epaphras, okay? It was Paul's disciple, a man from Colossae, went to hear Paul, came to know Christ, gave his life, and he went back to his own town, his own city, to preach the gospel. But there's been, I believe the Spirit of God, while he was in prison, Paul was in prison, the Spirit of God moved him to not just occasionally pray for this church, but he said, I need to pray for you daily. Paul is saying, it is great to know that you're standing your ground. So church, disciples of Jesus Christ in Colossae and in HPC, stand your ground, but do not stop there. Do not stop there. It is time for you to not just stand your ground, but it's important, Paul says that it is important and it is crucial that you go deeper. Are you with me? It's not enough to stand your ground, but to go deeper, be grounded where you stand. Are you with me? To be grounded where you stand. Be rooted where you are standing. If you are not grounded, if you are not rooted, somebody could come or somebody could just push you. You may be standing for a while, but when the pressure increases, if your roots are not deep, if you're not grounded, somebody will come and push you around and pull you around in all kinds of directions. Are you with me? You know, some of the scriptures that comes to my mind are Ephesians chapter 3:17 that Paul writes, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 1:23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. In the same letter in chapter 4, verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greeting. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm, yes, in all the will of God, but also mature and be fully assured. Are you with me? Not just standing your ground, but you are growing deeper, maturing and taking roots. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, then you, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul's prayer for the church of Colossae and for the church in HPC this morning is that we are not just standing our ground, somehow fighting this battle, somehow fighting this persecution, or somehow just going through this, which we must. But Paul is praying that we will be rooted in what we stand, that we will be steadfast in what we stand, that we will mature in what we stand for, that we will hold fast on what we stand, that we will be rooted and built up in what we are standing for. And the image is that of a tree that has deep roots and much fruit. Are you with me? The image is of deep roots, a tree of that has deep roots and much fruit. All of us, you know, who profess our faith in Jesus Christ and call ourselves the disciple of Jesus Christ, follower of Jesus Christ, at one point in our lives, when our eyes were open to know this truth, to see this truth, and our hearts were softened and our minds were receptive, there was such a rush of joy and excitement, so much so that we could not contain our joy that of this salvation that we've received. We were there for every meeting, every prayer meeting, every gospel outreach activity, every church event. We were involved in all kinds of serving in the church. We were on fire for the Lord. We had come alive, which must happen when if Christ has come into your life. As we heard last Sunday, that we were revived. We came to life. We were standing our ground. But then there was a time that we started losing that passion. Many of us can testify that, isn't it? Started losing that passion, either because of the burdens of this world, with work, family, and even the expectation from the church you were serving, Or some tragedy or suffering that you faced in life, somehow you started losing your ground. Are you with me? It's only those who are grounded and rooted where they are standing will continue to stand their ground. Are you with me? Only those who are grounded and rooted where they are standing will continue to stand their ground. But those who do not go deeper and are not grounded and rooted in their faith, they will easily waver and fall away. And that's not why God has called us. He's called us to go deeper in our relationship with Him, in our walk with Him. And this is the danger Paul could see that the church in Colossae could fall into because of this intense opposition and persecution they were facing, both from outside and from inside. So Paul wants to therefore warn this and encourage this fairly young believers to go deeper, be grounded where you stand, or be rooted where you are standing. Now, how do we go deeper? How do we be rooted where you're standing? How are we going to ground ourselves where we are standing? The first thing, Paul, if you read that passage, you will find out. The first thing Paul wants to tell us to be grounded or be rooted is to know who this God, or remember who you are following. Know this God that you have given your life to follow. Know this God. And why do I say that? It's important that we daily remember who our God is. You know, Paul reminds the church that unlike the gods and goddesses of the people around you, of the city of Colossae, the God we worship is a God who desires to have a relationship with us. Okay? The God of the Bible invites us to come to Him. He invites us to do what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He calls us to come to Him and have a dialogue with Him. Are you with me?
And that's why you will read in verse 9, he said, he is the God who chooses to dwell in us through his Holy Spirit. Who Paul in verse 9 says, who gives us all the wisdom and understanding that we need to know God's will. Are you with me? This God who wants to have a relationship with you is not made of stone and wood or any kinds of precious metal, but is a living God who has chosen to come and dwell among us through his Spirit. And not only that, in verse 12 you will see he is the God who has given us the right to call him Father. He's our heavenly Father. He's encouraging this small church. He's saying that be rooted. How are you going to be rooted? By knowing who your God is. By having this confidence in that this God I trust is truly who we say he is. Amen. And this God who have called me wants to have a relationship with him. He wants us to grow in our relationship with him. So know who this God is and remember who you're following. He's our God who calls himself, who has given us the right to call him Father. He is our Lord. In verse 10, he said, everything, and if you go further down from it, in verses 15, you'll say, everything originates from him and through him and for him. He's the God I worship, the God you and I worship is a God. He's the Lord of all that we have and that we have. Are you with me? He's the Lord of the universe. Everything begins and ends with him. And church, if he is not Lord over something in our life, then he's not Lord at all. It was a great missionary, Hudson Taylor, who said, Christ is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. And that's why Paul is warning, is he your Lord? Make sure, know him as your Lord. Let there be no area in my life and your life that hasn't got his lordship over. It is so easy for us to pick and choose. It's so easy to say that, Lord, you're allowed only this area in my life, but there are some areas I wouldn't want you to touch. But if you call Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then there should be no area, no secret places where he cannot have lordship over. And that can be a danger that we and I can fall as we grow in our Christian life. It is so easy, with all the passion we come to him, with all the desire to know him we come, but as the pressures of life increases, we try to compartmentalize our life and say, God, now I only have this much amount of time for you. I only can do so much, Lord, because there is, don't you know, I have this, and that, and everything else. And the Lord says, who is the Lord of your life? Who is the Lord of your life? It's so important. If you don't know who the Lord of your life, if Christ is not the Lord of all that you are, let me tell you, you're standing on a shaky ground. You're standing and you're building on sand. I'm sorry. You're building on sand. So know the God you're worshiping. Know him. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our Savior, Paul goes on to say in verse 13 and 14. He is our Redeemer. You know, human history knows of no other God who laid his life for humanity. Have you heard of any other God or goddess who would claim that they had laid their life for them, for humanity? Only God, through Jesus Christ, chose to lay his life for sinners like you and me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But the good news doesn't end there. But he rose again. And because he lived, we live too. Amen. So know your God. Know who your God is. Get to know him daily, church. Get to know him daily. Let that be your desire. Let that be your passion. I want to know you, Lord. That's why Paul said, I want to know Christ. And I know I repeat this verse because this is so key to our walk with the Lord. That I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. That's the only way to be grounded as the follower of Jesus Christ, to be rooted. That's the beginning. If you don't know who your Lord is, you're just wasting your time. You can do every religious stuff, everything that looks spiritual. If Lord Jesus Christ is not the Lord of all, then you're just wasting your time. And that means everything. That means everything. And you know, sometimes we feel, you know, God is not interested. This is just a small matter. Maybe God is not interested in that. Let me tell you, He's interested in every part of your life. He's interested in every area of it. Now, some may go crazy and say, okay, God, wake up in the morning, Lord, what shirt should I wear? No, I'm not talking about that. No, there are people. Hey, I'm not writing them off. There are people who get up in the morning and say, what shoe I should wear, Lord? What car I should drive, if they have many cars? Maybe some of you have. I'm not talking about that. But surrendering every area of our life. Leave no gaps. Leave no gaps. Because the more gaps you leave, the enemy will enter through there. Do you hear me? The more gap you leave where God, where Christ is not Lord over those areas, the enemy will creep in. And false teaching will keep in. That's why Paul is warning the church in Colossae and encouraging them, don't just stand, but be rooted. Be grounded. How do you do that? Know who your God is. Hallelujah. Know your God. Know who you worship. Secondly, know why this God alone is worth following. Are you with me? Know why this God alone is worth following, or remember how God has called you to follow Him. Paul in this passage shows us why this God alone is worthy of following. Because in verse 12 in part B, he says, He's the one who qualified you. Are you with me? He's the one who qualified you. What does that mean? He's the one who equipped you with adequate power to perform, to do what He's called you to do. He's qualified you, says, to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. You and I were not worthy. You and I, Paul, in another place, he says that you and I were not even part of His inheritance. We were not His people. We were outside. But He chose through Jesus Christ to cast us in, graft us in. Are you with me? We were not worthy, but He has made us adequate. He has qualified us. I don't know what your qualification is, but there's no greater qualification than to know that you are a child of God. There's no greater qualification than to know for sure that you are adopted in the family of God. And when troubles come, it's so easy. God, do I really belong to you? When we go through suffering, that you could question, Lord, do you really love me? Am I really your child, or do you show favoritism? Can I tell you, He never shows favoritism. Just be rooted in the knowledge, in the assurance that you are a child of God. Know who you are. Know that He is the one who's rescued us. He rescued us. He made a rescue plan for you and me. We would have never been here where we are right now. We would have not enjoyed the blessings that He's given us. We would not have this joy and the peace that we enjoy if Christ Jesus has not come and saved us and delivered us from the dominion of darkness and delivered us to bring us into where? Into His light, into His kingdom, into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Verse 13. Know who this God is. Know why this God has called you. And know why this God is God alone is worth following and living your life for. And in verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin, the one who has forgiven our sins. No one else can forgive our sins. Are you with me, church? No one else can cleanse me from my guilt. No one else can cleanse me and deliver me from this wretched life that Paul says, only Jesus Christ. and his blood that will set me free and forgive me. Know your God and know who you are. And know that it's worth following him. Be assured. Be sure of who he is. Be sure of God, that God alone is worth following. And thirdly, know that knowing God's will is the most important thing in your life. Are you with me? Because he is the Lord of all, because it's worth following him, he's got a plan for you. Are you with me? If he has delivered you, he has brought you from darkness into his light, he's got a plan for you. If we seek to know this God who we are following, and if we know how this God has called us by rescuing, redeeming, and forgiving us of all our rebellion and sin and our dirt and worthlessness, then wouldn't we want to know what this God thinks about us and what is his will and his purpose for my life? If he is my creator, he is the one who formed me, he is the one who breathed his life into me, then won't you want to know what are your plans for me, oh God? What is your will for me? We understand that it was because we wanted our will done and desires to be fulfilled that caused us to, in the first place, sin against him and rebel against this God. And wouldn't we want to know what this God's will and desire is for us? Knowing God's will is the most important thing in our life, Paul says. That if we begin to understand and know God's will, then our desires will be to do two things, Paul goes on to say. Know who this God is. How are you going to be rooted before I get carried away? How are you going to be rooted and grounded? You remember, those of you who are sleeping? First? Sorry? I can't hear. No. Are you still holding on to the last week's notes? Reuben, I'll deal with you later. Know the God that you're following. Okay? Secondly, who is that? What is that? Sorry? Know why this God alone is worth following. Thirdly, know that knowing God's will is the most important thing in our life. And how do we know and understand? And how do we do that? To know God's will and to desire his will, he says two things. In verse 10, he says, seek to live a life worthy of this Lord. And secondly, seek to please him in every way. So how do we live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way? In order to know God's will, I'm just going to share four things, or maybe 10 things, or maybe more. See, that got you awake, isn't it? So how do we live a life worthy of this Lord and please him in every way? First thing, you know, God has provided everything for us, Peter says, for life and godliness. So the first thing Paul says in verse 10 is bearing fruit in every good work. Okay? I want to be rooted. I'm not just going to stand, but I want to grow in God. I want to grow deeper and I want to be fruitful. And how am I going to do it? I'm going to do it by taking more time to know this God. I'm going to do by being assured of the one who has called me. I'm going to do by knowing his will. Are you with me? And how are we going to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way? To know his will is by bearing fruit in every good work. That means God is the one who helps us to live a life worthy of him. Because Peter says that he has given us everything for life and godliness. He alone gives us everything to live a life that is worthy and pleasing in every way. Because there is nobody here. Hear me, there's no one here who is useless. Are you with me? We all have works to do. No one can say that I am useless. And some of you say that. I am worthless. Does that ring bell? Some of you at some point in your life have said that I am useless. Or somebody else has said, you are absolutely useless. And you should just say, shut up, I am not. I am a precious child of God. I'm not worthless. I'm not useless because my God has got work for me to do. Are you with me? Bearing fruit in every good work. So we are created. We are created. We are created to be productive. Okay? So when we become a follower of Jesus Christ and if we live in line with God's word, then we should and we must produce fruit that reflects our relationship with God. As we read in Matthew 3:8, it says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. If I really know this God, if I really assured of who I believe in, if I really want to know the will of God who has rescued me because he alone knows what is best for me, then what do I want to do? I want to please him. I want to live a life that is worthy and a life that is pleasing to him. How? By bearing fruit. By bearing fruit. Jesus said, if we remain in me, we will produce fruit. Fruit in a tree also shows how deep the roots and how much the root is drawing from the soil that is planted in. Are you with me? The fruit in us will show how deep we are planted, how deep we are grounded. Are you with me? It's only when we are more, the more we are grounded in him, the more we go deeper in him. You know, most of the Christian work is done hidden. Do you know that? Most of the work that God is doing in your life is hidden. Are you with me? But when what God is working out his purposes, you will produce fruit. Because God is in the background doing stuff in your life as you yield yourself, as you being rooted, as you get to know him, as you seek to know him, as you desire to know him as your God, as your Savior. But let's prepare fruit in every good work that God has given us. And the Bible also tells us that God is always looking to see if we are bearing fruit. Okay? In John 15:8, it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. God is looking out for us to grow and to be rooted. He doesn't want us to stay. And, you know, Paul says that how long I'm tired. I don't want to keep spoon feeding you. It's time for you to eat what? Solid food. It's long enough that you've been on what? Formula milk. It's time for you to do what? Eat solid food. And how do we do that? The only way you can start eating solid food is when you go deeper and deeper in the knowledge of your God. Deeper and deeper in the knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. Deeper and deeper in the knowledge of God's will for your life. Only then you're going to produce fruit. So bear fruit in every good work. Secondly, growing in the knowledge of God. Okay? We'll live a life worthy of this Lord and please him in every way as we grow in our knowledge of him. The more I know him, and the more I know someone, the more I know what their likes and dislikes are. Isn't it? Isn't that true? The more I know someone, the more I know Priscilla, the more I know what she likes and what she dislikes. And sometimes I'm absolutely lost what she likes. I don't know. Sometimes I've been with this woman for the last 15 years, but there are moments, there are times I don't know what she wants. I don't know. She shows me eyes and hands and I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. Does it happen to you? It's just me. Sorry? I'm not alone. Thank you, brother. I've got somebody who understands my heart. The only way to know God is to heart. What? What? To get to know him. It's by spending time with him. It's by loving him. It's by saying that I love you. You know, the other day I was sharing that, you know, my son, Nived, he comes to me when I return home from work or wherever I am. And he runs to me and said, Daddy, I missed you. I know, that's exactly how I feel. Oh, Daddy, I missed you. Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I want you. I'm saying exactly what he says. And the other day, I had a bit of a tough time in the morning. There's a lot of things going on within my extended family, something. And I couldn't really pray. I prayed. I read my Bible. I couldn't really pray. And I came to the church. I was sitting in the office. And suddenly, I just felt, Lord, I'm missing something. And something just welled up in me. I said, Lord, I miss you. God, I love you. Father, I miss you. You know, that's the kind of relation our Heavenly Father seeks with us, where we can go to Him and say, Father, I miss you. Father, I love you and I want you. That happens when we get to know Him more. That happens when we get deeper and deeper in our roots, in our relationship with Him. Are you with me? I pray that we all get to that place where we can call Him confidently, my Heavenly Father. Where we can confidently feel that I miss you, Lord, when I don't spend time with you. Where we can feel where it actually really hurts me when I don't spend time with you. It hurts me when I don't read your word. It hurts me when I don't hear from you. It hurts me when I don't spend time with you. Where I can say confidently, yes, Father, I miss you. Daddy, I miss you. I love you. And I want you. Don't we want that relationship with our God? And you know what? More than you, He desires that. He desires that. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. He's greater. He's greater than our earthly father. I don't know what your relationship has been with your earthly father, or how it's been, how you've been with your earthly father. I don't know what has gone. And you know, sometimes it's so easy for us to become bitter and to really not even want to know God as your father. I know people. The moment I say that God is your father, they just can't take it, because they relate. They relate with their earthly father because of what they've been through. They just can't cope with it. They can't come to terms with the idea that God is your father. But the good news is He is the perfect father who will never let you down, church. He will never let you go. Grow in the knowledge of this Father. Get to know Him. Get to know Him. Thirdly, so the worst, how do we live a life worthy of the Lord, this Lord, and please Him in every way? First, bearing fruit, any good work. Secondly, growing the knowledge of this Father. Thirdly, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. I know there's a lot of words here, but just bear with me as I briefly unpack it. Thirdly, we live a life worthy of this Lord and please Him in every way when we remain consistent in our walk with the Lord. Are you with me? When we remain consistent in our walk with the Lord. You know, consistency, hear me, consistency comes as our roots go deeper in our relationship with God. Okay? If you're not deeply rooted, if you're not standing, if our roots are not deeper in our relationship with God, it's so easy for us to waver. We can lose the consistency. How do we lose consistency? We will not be consistent in our walk with Him. We won't be consistent in our time of our prayer time. We won't be consistent in meditating on His word. We won't be consistent in giving Him. All kind of implication, but if you're not rooted, and if you're not strengthened with the power that He is giving us, which it says according to His glorious might, we need endurance and patience, because Christian life calls us to take up the cross and follow Him. Are you with me? We need endurance and patience because Christian life calls us to take up our cross and follow Him. Another thing, it's we need endurance and patience because suffering is an essential part of following Christ. Hear me. Suffering is an essential part of following Christ. You know, Paul knew more than anyone. And that's why in you know, Paul himself emphasized the preciousness of suffering when he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, I want to know Christ, that famous verse. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. Yes, I want to know his power. I want to know his glorious might. But then he goes on to say, and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Because Paul knew it is only through suffering that we learn to endure and be patient. If you're not challenged, if you don't go through suffering, if you don't go through opposition, we will not know how to stand and be patient and to endure. We need endurance and patience only when you face opposition. Are you with me? We need endurance and patience. If everything is hunky-dory and fine, we don't need endurance, do we? If everything is going well, we don't need patience. Who are you patient for? Everything is fine. Are you with me? We need endurance and patience because he calls us for a life of suffering, participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. You know, the exciting fact about our relationship and growth in the Lord is that he is the one, Paul says, grants us his glorious might. I don't understand this. I don't know if you and I can fully comprehend what it means. He grants us his glorious might. And in another place it says that this glorious might is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from death. Are you with me? This glorious might is the same power, Paul says in another place, that is the same power that raised Jesus Christ, already dwells in you the moment you came from the dark kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his light. Are you with me? He has given us the strength, church. Don't say, I don't have strength. No, he has given us his might. The only way we'll experience that is when we bear fruit, when you're rooted in him, when we stand firm in him. And finally, giving joyful thanks to the Father in verse 12. So how do we live a life worthy of this Lord and please him? Come on, church. Bearing fruit in every good work, yes? Growing in the knowledge of God. Thirdly, which I just said, and it'll be really sad if you don't remember that. Being consistent in what? Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And finally, when you bear fruit in the work that God gives you and grow in the knowledge of God, then you will grow in strength that comes from God, okay? Which grants you the grace to have great endurance and patience. And this actually then causes you to overflow. When God has done something in your life, when you start bearing fruit in him, knowing him, in you know, knowing who your God is, you start getting rooted in knowing who your God is, in knowing for sure who you put your faith in, as you grow in that, as you bear fruit in pleasing him, as you grow in his knowledge, as you continue to experience his glorious might that is he has already given you. You know, the only thing that will happen is that you must overflow with what? Joy. Amen. If you really experience the depth of his power, the depth of his joy, depth of what he has done in your life, and if you only know who this God is, you must, and you and I must, overflow with gratitude towards our Heavenly Father, giving joyful thanks to the Father. And why our gratitude should be joyful. Paul in verse 13 and 14, summarizing the gospel, shows us
the reason we should give joyful thanks to the Father. He says, for he has rescued. This is the reason I must be joyful. I must give joyful thanks to the Father. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the dark kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. For all that he has done, I have every reason to be joyous. If he is the Lord of my life, if I am rooted in him, if I have surrendered and yielded my life to him, come what may, at every cost, if I am willing to, if I am submitting to grow in him, to be rooted, to be fruitful, the outcome of that will be grateful joy. Are you with me? It'll be full of joy, overflowing with joy. This is my prayer for us, church. This is my prayer for you and I, that we will know who our God is, that we are not just standing, but that we are going deeper in our relationship. May you know him. May you experience his power. May you, even in your suffering, experience patience and endurance with the might that he's given you through his Spirit. May you know him. May you have such intimate relationship with him where you can cry out to him, Abba, Father. May you overflow with his joy. Hallelujah. Shall we stand together? Shall we stand together as we close? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our God is good. You can be sure of who he is. You know what? He's done enough for us to be sure of who he is. So let's stand our ground. And not just stand our ground, but let's go deeper. Let's be rooted and grounded where we stand. Let each one of us be rooted and grounded in him. Don't allow the enemy to push you and pull you around with all kinds of thoughts and philosophies. Be grounded and be rooted in him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I know that times that we wrestle with doubt. We wrestle with doubt about who our God is. Let's not allow the enemy to confuse us and distract us, but let's be grounded. Let's be rooted. Maybe some of you may feel that I've lost that passion. Can I encourage you to go back to him? And like Paul, who said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Restore unto me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me, O God. Prayer for those of you who may be going through a dry phase in your life, that the Spirit of God will pour out his love upon you this morning. A friend has called you. He's delivered you from the dominion of darkness and then brought you into his light, into his kingdom. My friend, you're not worthless or useless. He's got good works for you to do. I've called you. The one who's called is faithful. Go deeper in him.
be grounded in Him. Come what may we be like the house that's built upon the rock, can never be shaken. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray with you if anybody wants prayer. You're more than welcome to come forward. We want to stand with you and pray and ask God to touch you. Ask God to breathe a new life into you. Breathe His life. And where you need reviving, the areas that you yet to surrender to His Lordship, let this be the day where you surrender. Say, Lord, here I am. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Worthy.